is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
I'm not sure our bosses love this because, you know, they get bonused on ratings alone, but...
Well, then they definitely don't.
Shout out to YouTube /KHDK, and also our Periscope. The numbers there are just... And the thing I love about, you know, Periscope's still fairly new to us. That's the Twitter video client. And we've been doing that about a little over a month. YouTube we've been doing just under a year, I think. And you've just seen the numbers slowly climb.
Yeah.
And what I really love about it is there's that internal chat that happens, and it's irreverent and goofy and silly many times. But I love seeing the personalities in YouTube in the chat interact with each other. With the show is kind of most of the time like a starting point, but they'll go off on their own tangents.
And they do that within 10 minutes of the show starting.
And I love that. I love that they kind of feed off of each other. They recognize each other. I love building. I think a radio show at its best is a community.
Oh, absolutely.
A community where you can interact throughout the day. And remember, you can watch the archives of the program always on Periscope. In fact, I had a good friend of mine call me yesterday and say, "Hey, how long have you been doing the Periscope thing?" "About a month." He goes, "I just watched your show today."
"Thanks."
And then about 50% of the time you can watch the archives on YouTube. Depending on whether
buddy, it's like 5%. Time. Let's just
We're trying to get better at it.
We had it fixed and then it broke again. And
yeah,
man, don't get me started on that.
We were talking about defense with the Sacramento Kings, who take on the Dallas Mavericks and Luka Doncic. And by the way, Kristaps Porzingis, let's not forget.
Wow, shade at Maxi Kleber, but all right.
There's another Maxi Kleber's just holding that position. I've convinced myself. But that's what we talked about yesterday. I have convinced myself.
Halt!
Well, I have to say it now.
No, you don't. You know what? Tweet it. Don't say it. Tweet it.
I'm just saying I know who they're going to replace Maxi Kleber with in Dallas. I know who he's holding that spot.
Paul Millsap.
Yeah, there you go.
Vote for Millsap. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. His number four. So his message on the back. Everybody has a message. Most everybody has a message. The NBA work with them to put on the back, and you know, freedom, equality, vote was Paul Millsap's, and so he has vote as his message on the top. His last name's on the bottom, Millsap, but his number's four.
Yeah,
so,
vote for Millsap.
Yeah, it looks like he's promoting, like he's running for office.
Maybe he's running for a postseason award.
I'm all for vote, by the way.
Yes,
huge fan of that message. Vote. Vote. And regardless who you're voting for, just please vote. Doesn't matter if we agree or not.
Exercise your right as an American citizen.
Yeah, and also just exercise, would you? 1-800-920-1143-39-1140. You know, we haven't brought this up yet.
I love that you have that message. Would that be your message?
That's a huge
exercise.
Let me tell you something, dude. I go up and down the stairs in my house probably 30 times a day. That's a lot.
Yeah, to go to the fridge.
True. We didn't talk about this.
I've seen your Tony's Pizza post.
You haven't had Tony. Okay, I got to focus here.
Yeah,
you're screwing me up here.
I know.
It's all your fault.
It's intentional.
We haven't brought up yet in light of the Kings losing two in a row. The Kings getting blown out in Orlando. Luka Doncic, who we missed on playing us today. Tensions already high. Emotions are already high. What I haven't even brought up yet in the first 2 hours and 6 minutes of this program. 37 points and 12 rebounds for Michael Porter Jr. yesterday.
Yeah, I noted that.
12 of 16 from the field, including 4 of 6 from behind the arc. He also had a block, a steal, and an assist. He played a team-high 44 minutes.
God.
37 and 12. Now, let's be clear about something. It is serious. Serious hindsight is 2020 type of stuff.
Oh, this is the most Monday morning quarterback of all time.
It really, truly is, because had the Kings picked Michael Porter Jr., who, credit them, Michael Porter Jr. was in their top three. It was Doncic, it was Bagley, it was Michael Porter Jr. Those were the three they were zeroed in on.
And depending on who you talk to, Porter was probably, at least from as a prospect of ceiling, they think they looked at as the highest.
True, truly had Michael Porter Jr. not been injured, well, first off, he might have been the number one pick in the draft.
Oh, no, he would have. Pre-injury, Porter Jr., the year before college, was the number one pick on every mock.
Which meant that either, well, you would hope. I almost just said that means either DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic would.
Yeah, had Doncic fell to the Kings, I feel like, you know, our fortunes would have turned.
No, but I'm not entirely, you mean Ayton, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm being a jerk.
Listen, I'm not entirely sure that if Porter Jr. had gone one, I'm not entirely sure the Kings wouldn't have still picked Marvin Bagley. I think they would have picked Ayton.
I think they liked Bagley over Ayton, though. I think they thought Bagley's ceiling was higher than Ayton's.
I don't know that. That I don't.
I don't either, but when you hear things like, oh, we think Marvin can play the three, those are the things I hear that would make me think like they'd be more inclined to take Bagley just because of how they thought they could use him. And his fit next to De'Aaron Fox, obviously, as we've heard from time and time again. But move on.
Michael Porter Jr. was drafted number 14 by the Denver Nuggets. Now, this to me isn't hindsight. Because what I would like to know, and this is an answer probably... this is an answer we probably won't ever get, but what would it have cost to grab that number 14 pick?
I have heard since I remember that draft day. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is the same, like we said, the same draft that they took Marvin Bagley. I was in Golden One Center. I talked to a lot of people that day that all said the same thing. Hey, do you think the Kings could, like, I don't know, swing the 14th pick and take a flyer on Porter? I'm like, I would do it, but I'm not in the front office.
Right.
And it's just, to answer your question, I have no idea what that would have cost, what Denver would have wanted. Because Denver, I'm imagining by the time Porter fell into the teens where they were slotted, we're like, man, we can just take a flyer on a guy that has superstar potential. I don't know if they were going to move off of that pick at that point. I think if you were to acquire that pick, you would have had to do it pre-draft. And even then, nobody thought Porter Jr. was falling to 14. Let's be very honest here. I think a lot of people thought he might fall. People knew he would fall because of the injury.
Sure.
But no one anticipated him falling out of the top 10.
He fell to number 14.
So, again, to answer your question, I don't think there was a deal by the time Denver realized, like, oh, damn, Michael Porter Jr., a kid with superstar potential, is going to fall to us at 14.
But you've got to be ready to move.
Sure.
So at some point you say, hold on, we really wanted Michael Porter Jr., but we're worried. He's going to have to redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
We owe it to our – we have to draft our guy at number two because they'd riot. So I get it. In no world should the Kings have drafted – well, I mean, obviously in hindsight, but there is no world where in real time the Kings should have drafted Michael Porter Jr. number two in 2018.
They would have been
right.
Torched for that.
So they get no crap for that. But – I really would love to know, and I'm certainly not getting an answer now. No one's picking up this phone call. But was there an attempt? If there was an attempt, what was the ask? You're never getting an answer to that. I mean, Brandon Williams might actually
I literally just took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, I was Brandon just thinking Williams, that.
I do have his phone number, but I don't think he'd take my call either.
Yeah, text him.
I don't think he'd respond.
I'll text him.
I mean, he might respond, but it wouldn't be with an answer to that question. Because you have to be malleable. That's where the good and the great GMs separate themselves. So you call Denver. What do you want? Seriously, what do you want for this? Is it a future pick? Is it a player and a pick? And I also, you know, the other one that really, for some reason, is stinging me a lot, too, Doncic is obvious. Everyone's pissed.
Yeah.
The Porter Jr. thing stings me because I don't know that they made an effort to acquire that pick from Denver, which, by the way, is stacked. So maybe Denver does want to give that away. Maybe Denver needs salary cap relief. Maybe Denver needs to open up money, I'm talking about in 2018, to sign future guys. So maybe you're taking on some salary. I don't know. You might have been able to get the number 14 pick for a minor player and taking on some salary.
Yeah.
Okay. But we don't know. But then little things like, why didn't we draft Bol Bol with our second round pick? Why?
Oh, you're still on this one?
I'm on it because I was on it last year. I think it's disingenuous. if you weren't. If Warren was not bitching about this.
No, I watched a dude on draft day.
I was pissed. Like, come on, you're a crap team. Bowl Bowl may not be the end-all be-all, okay? End-all bowl. Okay, he may not, but that's what you take risks on when you're a team like the Kings.
Well, I think any team, by the time you're in the 40s in the second round and you got a guy that is a tantalizing prospect, albeit with a lot of injury problems.
Yes.
Yeah, you swing. Why? Because at that point, it's a non-guaranteed deal in the second round.
Right.
It's about is when people say take a flyer, that's about taking a flyer as you can.
Yes. And the Nuggets have handled, listen, God forbid, and I'm knocking on wood for even verbalizing this, we don't know what Michael Porter Jr.'s future holds.
Sure, we're talking about one game.
Right. And to be fair, he's looked good in other games.
Oh,
he's just been on minutes restrictions for most of them. We don't know what kind of career he's going to have injury-wise. I'm very confident in saying the following. If Michael Porter Jr.'s injury issues are behind him, we're talking about a future All-Star. But at the same time, I've also gone on record saying to this day, if Marvin Bagley's injuries are behind him starting next year, he's also probably a future All-Star. People laugh at me. That's not me defending the pick. That's not me saying I think it will happen. That's me looking at Marvin's age and looking at what he's done on the floor offensively when he's been on the floor. And that to me translates into a probable, not possible, but probable All-Star if the guy's playing 70 or more games a year for his entire season, for his entire career. But, and somebody on the text line just nailed it for me too. I was looking more than Bowl Bowl. I was looking at Carson Edwards dropping. Mm-hmm. And Carson got taken before us. And as soon as Carson Edwards was gone, Bowl Bowl should have been the guy.
Right.
But Vlade went with this kid out of Wyoming. And no offense to Justin James at all, but what's Justin James going to be in his career? Almost certainly he's going to be a fringe rotation player at best. And that's not fair to him. But that's probably, if you're betting money, what he's going to be. You're seeing guys like Gary Trent Jr. having an effect on the floor. These are people that...
Kings legend Gary Trent Jr.
I mean...
Yeah, no, that stuck out to me watching the Blazers the other night. I'm like, wow, Gary Trent on defense has been really good.
Defense.
Oh, that's right, we drafted him. Oh, that's right, we traded him.
Defense.
Remember we talked about we need more dogs on the team. We need more guys with that mentality. There was one, and again, another second-round pick. Yeah. I can't emphasize this enough. Second-round picks, if you can find a quality rotation player in the second round, which we've seen, you can. You're not going to find – the likelihood you find a superstar in the second round, I mean, it happens.
It does happen.
But it's not likely.
Right.
But you can find rotation players in the second round. It's so important with the salary cap because they cost you nothing.
The entire purpose of the second round should be this is where I take my flyers.
Yes.
It's just like – I mean, honestly, it's very similar – to a fantasy league. When you get in those final three rounds of the draft, that's where you're drafting guys that, okay, well, they've got an injury issue or the super high side. Hey, you might not play this year, but maybe if that's where you take your chances.
Mm-hmm.
Or you use them as some sort of stock to, you know, couple a few second rounders into a first rounder or into a player or throw them in. Second rounders, you shouldn't be drafting in the second round like you draft in the first round.
No.
It's not the same mentality. Meanwhile, Bowl Bowl yesterday... You know, talk about per 36, averaged 27 points per 36 in that game yesterday.
How many minutes did he play?
Four. He scored 3 points. But,
I hate you. Because you really had me going there. I didn't even look at the Nuggets box score. I just saw Porter Jr.'s line.
He scored 3 points in 4 minutes. I did the math.
I was like, dude, wait, how many minutes did he play?
I did the math.
Did he play 20?
I did the math.
Played four. Damn it. I like how you go to make this huge point only for him to play 4 minutes the night before. Yes, you did. No one can deny that your math is correct.
By the way, his previous game, 15 points, 12 boards, 3 assists per 36.
How many minutes did he play?
12.
Okay. Well, that's better.
He had 5 points and 4 boards in 12 minutes.
Oh, that's actually not a bad line.
Oh.
Again, for a guy that you're paying nothing for, you took a flyer on.
From the 209. Oof. Guys, all morning you keep asking open questions about the Kings on whether it's coaching, whether it's the players, whether it's the front office.
It's
the answer is yes.
Yeah. We know. We're just trying to place who gets to blame more in these situations. We're just ranking them.
And this is an important text from the 916. I think this is a very important text when we're talking about philosophy and how you deal with your team. Let's talk about the future, guys, not the past. This will just make people pissed off. Well, if we talk about the future, people are still going to get pissed off too. I think it's very important. For the let's not talk about the past crowd, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Now, dwelling, sticking to, obsessing on, I understand the argument, and it's a valid one. But there's a saying, what is past is prologue. In order to grade, we have to be aware of the past.
Well, especially when the past has a direct effect on the present product.
That is correct.
And that's really what we're looking over.
The bright sides on this team, it is a diseased team. It is a diseased team. Now, they're not toxic. Let's be clear. If there's one thing Vlade Divac has accomplished more than anything since he's taken over, is the types of players on the team are
the culture change.
Well, and I purposely didn't use culture for the following reason, because I think there's a difference between good culture and likable players. And I think the problem is what Vlade Divac has built is good human being, likable players.
Mm-hmm.
Guys you can root for. Buddy is happy. Rashawn Holmes is such a good dude and has such a great family. De'Aaron Fox is so cool. He's such a badass. Harry Giles' smile lights up a room. Just on and on. Harrison Barnes is I keep saying great human beings. He and Kent Bazemore are the ultimate role models types of guys. Zach Randolph before that. Vince Carter before that. Like, Vlade's very good at bringing in people that you either want to look up to or ones that you want to be around, because they're the ones you want to sit next to on a team bus. The Sacramento Kings might lead the NBA in players you'd want to sit next to on a trip or travel with because they're cool guys. But I think that gets mistaken with a culture change.
Okay.
Because to me, the Chicago Bulls, the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls, now that's a culture.
Mm-hmm.
That is a culture. That is a culture of winning. But you had rampant a-holery on that team.
A lot of malcontents.
A lot of malcontents, a lot of crap talking.
Prima donnas.
A lot of practice fights and the Rodmans of the world of Vegas and Carmen Electras and all that. Michael Jordan is gambling and cigar smoking and is crap talking and beating down players during practice. You had that. But they had a culture of winning.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid to lose because then they would all point fingers at each other and beat the hell out of each other. By the time the Bulls got on the floor to play another team, it's like having a family where you have 11 brothers and you guys spend the day beating the holy hell out of each other because that's what 11 brothers would do, 12 brothers. But once you get on the floor, it's like, listen, I will beat the crap out of little Paulie here.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear to God, if you touch my brother, I'm going to kick you right in the junk.
Right.
And it's on. That's the key. So, no, I don't think they've built a culture. But I think this is a culture of, hey, man, it's cool. You know, we're trying our best. And they're good guys. And you know, I'm going to look at the film and try to figure it out. And, you know, everybody's head's in the right spot. And you know, they just got to step up, but my gosh. No, dude. How about, hey, have some pride. Don't be a loser. Dive on the floor. Show some heart. You're embarrassing. Earn your money.
Focus on the wins, not your individuality.
Exactly. Stop talking.
That's basically what Kent Bazemore is saying.
Well, let's get to Kent Bazemore. And by the way, when I say stop talking, there's also, by the way, a huge difference between, hey, stop running your mouth until you can put something behind it, like we want all the smoke.
Right.
And shut up and dribble, which is a whole different ballgame.
No, the idea is if you're going to tell the media we want all the smoke, that better reflect in your play on the floor.
You'd better want all the smoke.
All of it.
Unless you're talking about, like, you know, Marlboros or something.
Yeah, that's bad. That affects the lungs and your... Yeah.
There's Kent Bazemore on Orlando.
Well, I hope we... you know, tomorrow, the first quarter would tell all, you know, giving up, I think, 77 points in the last two games in the first quarter total. So hopefully the first quarter will say a lot about, you know, where our minds are moving forward.
AKA play defense.
And Kent's taking responsibility, but he realizes it's not just Kent Bazemore.
I just kind of, told the guys after last night, when I'm on the floor, I'm thinking about, all the sacrifices and stuff that I made to be here and who I'm playing for. And, I'm not playing for myself. I'm not playing for, it's bigger than me. We're down here. We got a pandemic. We got a Black Lives Matter movement. We got, families at home. We got kids at home. You think about all that stuff and you really play from a different place. You play with this incredible fire. And
I mean, find the lie. And then now you move on. Last thing from Kent. This is the important one, best for last. Talking about what he says to, or what he said to, and what he's saying to his teammates.
I was on the floor last night, and when I found out, I had to walk to the back just to kind of gather myself because, I was kind of overwhelmed with emotion. I just wanted so bad sometimes. And it's still a fault at times, but, this is who I am, and I've been working hard as a human to try to, balance that out. But, I work, extremely hard to be in a position I am a man, and I'm grateful to be, down here. I'm really, really happy to be here. I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be, still playing basketball at a high level. So when I'm out there, it's I'm coming from a different place. And I just echoed that to the guys today. You got to play with a bigger purpose. You can't play for your own individuality. Like, I don't care about this stuff. I don't care about stat sheets. I just care about winning. I'm still in the league because, I didn't average 20 points. Now, 1 year I played in the NBA. But I do the small things. I love when my teammates do well. I love setting up my teammates, and I love winning, as a group. So that's what's got me here. That's what's kept me here, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
This is a guy, by the way, that has made just about $76 million in his career. In fact, he's just finishing that contract, and he got paid $19.2 million. He's rich.
Yeah.
His grandkids will be rich, and he's still out there, still fighting, still diving, still doing his thing. And we got some people that are just, I'm going to get my contract.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it.
I'll put up the stats to get it. Like you said, he's not a 20-point game guy.
No.
He's just a guy that goes out there, busts his ass every night, plays defense, preaches, and brings a good culture with him. And, I had read something. Chris Humphreys, when he retired, he pinned a letter on the Players Tribune talking about likability.
Yeah.
And how that is a huge factor as a role player when sticking in the NBA.
Yep.
And Kent Bazemore is so likable because of everything he just said.
Yep.
He doesn't just preach it. He does that on the court on a nightly basis.
We got a break. I want to give you the text of the day.
Okay.
From the 916, surprisingly. How mad will you guys be when we lose Harry Giles? And not only does he end up staying more healthy than Marvin Bagley, what if he has a better overall career? Would you be pissed? No.
I'd be thrilled.
I'd be really super happy.
I'll be marching down J Street having a parade.
Wouldn't be mad at all. Great question.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
What if a bird crapped on your tuxedo on the way to a wedding? Would you be annoyed?
Possibly. What kind of bird is it?
What if your kid came up and jumped on the bed and landed right on your junk? Would that hurt? Ed Crane for the final time, once in a blue moon. It's all coming up. Final half hour of the Carmichael Dave Show.
The Carmichael Dave Show returns in 4 minutes.
Here's your bottom of the hour news and information update with Ed Crane.
Good morning. After roaring past the 500,000 mark, the pace of COVID-19 infections looks to be slowing in most of the state. The number of infections, the rate of positivity, and the rate of hospitalizations down. But the numbers are going the other way in the Central Valley, the current corona hotspot. President Trump says the U.S. could have a COVID-19 vaccine before the end of the year. He cited rapid progress in the testing of two vaccines from U.S. drug makers Pfizer and Moderna. The owners of two El Dorado County restaurants say they'll keep operating despite having their health permits suspended, both the El Dorado Cafe and the Apple Bistro, ignoring COVID protocols like social distancing of customers and face coverings to be worn by employees. They're facing fines of up to $500 a day. A couple of familiar retailing names headed for bankruptcy, the parent company of Lord & Taylor and the owners of Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Bank looking to financially reorganize. No one ever mistook New York City for Kansas, but the Big Apple may be in for a taste of nasty Midwestern weather. Tornado warnings are in effect for New York City as tropical storm Isaiah comes barreling up the East Coast as a hurricane last night. The storm roared into North Carolina, leaving thousands without power. That's the information you need. I'm Ed Crane. Here's Dave.
Hello, Ed.
Hello, Dave.
You know, I took a second there because you mentioned Men's Warehouse. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this, but so when you, okay, when you think of Men's Warehouse, does anything pop into your head?
Yeah, the guy with the beard.
George Zimmer.
Yeah.
George Zimmer, I guarantee it, or whatever the hell he said.
Yeah.
So.
You're going to like the way you look, I guarantee
it. Right. And it said, so in June 19th, 2013, the Men's Warehouse Board dismissed George Zimmer for unspecified reasons. And I'm scanning. I haven't read this yet. So if it
well,
was.
Well, it's very obvious. The board went and they got some suits and they didn't like the way they looked.
Apparently his guarantee didn't work.
Yeah.
So here's my thing with George Zimmer apparently lives in Oakland. He's still around. He's got four kids. He's 71. That's bright and young. He lives in Oakland. He might be listening right now. I think Men's Warehouse needs to bring back George Zimmer. That's the answer, man. If I'm Men's Warehouse, I'm saying, dude, obviously COVID's got us, but we need George Zimmer. We need
George Zimmer was, he was a good face of the franchise, as they say.
Yes.
But these days, when was the last time you went to buy a suit? I mean, unless you have to go to a wedding or something,
yeah,
work it from home, right?
Yeah, that's, well, no, you're very right. I mean, obviously, it's not George Zimmer necessarily that did it, but that's, they got to reorganize, and maybe George Zimmer can lead the way when we get in this post-COVID world where everybody's got to wear suits again.
And one of them bought, I can't remember if it was Men's Warehouse bought Banks or the other way around, but they're like, they're the two men's stores you think about, and they're competing against each other, and they're not all that different.
No, not at all. Also, you've been talking about it all morning, too, so real quick. The two El Dorado restaurants, that are, they got, so it's what, $500 a day, but they're still operating?
Yeah, and my understanding is that they're not just, oh, sorry, we didn't have a mask. They're telling people, we don't want you to wear a mask in here. We're not going to wear a mask in here. We're defying the state.
Sweet. I'm super rooting for them to be successful. Sure hope they don't get any fines.
I'd love to know what the COVID rate, testing positive rate, is for diners there.
I just, you know, and the thing is, somebody might say, well, it's zero. Okay, well, but what about the other one, the other one, the other one? Like, come on, just, we all want to go back to normal. Just do the thing. It's the ultimate group project in school that, like, the one guy's getting high under the bleachers. I keep saying that. Like, stop getting high under the bleachers when you got a thing due tomorrow. Everyone get an A and work hard. We're all in this together. That's what I say.
By the way, I want you to know that this is contactless radio here from my house to yours.
Right, that's exactly right. We are apart. We are as socially distanced as could be. So appreciate you. You'll be around in the afternoon. Everybody can tune in then, and I will talk to you along with Jay tomorrow morning.
All right, sir. Enjoy the game.
You too. Thank you. I hope to enjoy the game. 11:30 today. And that's, what would you say, pregame right after we get off the air?
9 a.m.?
Woo! That's why I saw Scotty the Body Marsh in the parking lot.
Yes, and Matthew George.
Oh, you know, I talked to somebody, texted earlier and said, hey, can we get Matt George on? I need some optimism. I went and saw Matt George. He works down the hall. After the show, I kicked open his little studio door and I was like, are you done? Are you done yet? And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, you dumb optimism. Are you done? He goes, oh, yeah, dude, I'm over it.
Listen,
they've even killed Matt George.
I was just going to say, when you have killed Matt George's optimism, that is murder like no other.
Mm-hmm. And the Kings have their game against Dallas today. Hey, a lot of emotions are going to be flying. First off, the Kings have had some success against Dallas.
They beat them once.
And Dallas clinched a playoff spot for the first time since Dirk Nowitzki was on the team. They've completely reloaded with players. I think Porzingis is 25. Doncic is, what, 20, 21?
Going back to that real quick, the last time they clinched a playoff spot without Dirk, 30 years ago, 1990.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude.
I can't wait till we can say, hey, this is the first time the Kings have clinched a playoff spot since they had run our test.
I can tell you this. No matter what happens today, tomorrow's show is going to be very lively.
Oh, one way or the other.
They lose again today. It's going to be, let's light the torches. If they win, then the big argument's going to be, do we even get our hopes up? Do we even get our hopes up? What do you do? Do you fight it? Do you let it in? Do you allow yourself?
because of the stats, not stats, the standings that you talked about earlier, it's literally within our blood to get our hopes up. Literally. If they win tonight, literally all hopes will be up.
Not all.
No, all.
Not mine.
Oh, no, they will. You're not going to say it, but you'll think about it.
No, I won't. I'll know exactly what's going to happen. I kind of expect them to win today, as do you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like watching a Kings game in a microcosm, except it's a season. They'll come out crap in the first and second quarters. In the third quarter, they'll cut the lead to four. In the fourth quarter, they'll get it to be a dandy. And then, oh, they break down and they lose. Like, that's what they'll do here. They'll probably end up tying Portland and San Antonio. And hell, they might even take a lead.
You're so negative.
But in the end, we all know what's going to happen. The football's going to get pulled. We're going to go to kick it. We're going to fall on our asses. And then we're going to spend the whole summer going, eh. You're going to have half the Kings fan base going, eh. Again, they let us down again. And you're going to have the other half going, actually, you know, I mean, they did show some signs of improvement. And I mean, maybe, honestly, if Bagley comes back next year, we get a good pick. And, you know, this draft lottery, maybe make a trade. I mean, I don't
know.
It's
like you've been through this before.
It's this, honestly, they should call them, you know, we were looking for a rebrand. How about the Sacramento Groundhogs?
Oh, that's not bad.
Groundhog Day. Because we do the same thing every single season.
We could have Bill Murray come,
yes,
and be a guest.
Maybe he plays that Pebble Beach thing. He's local.
Yeah.
From the 916. Positive energy, please. No.
No.
You're going to get that 3-6 more likely than you're going to get it here.
I don't even know if you're going to get it there.
Not yesterday. I'm just saying if the Kings win, that's going to be it's going to be like a battery. You're going to have the negative side here. You're going to have the positive side in the afternoon. I like to call it realism. But isn't everybody's realism what they think is going to happen?
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite thing. I just keep it real. Yeah. Mm. According to you.
Yeah. And not twice, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But once.
Right.
Just like once in a blue moon.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Good morning, Jay.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good morning, Jay.
You ready for this one?
I am.
You're not. The LA Lakers wrapped up the number one seed in the West last night.
I care about that.
The Lakers became the first team in NBA history to earn the top seed in their conference immediately following a five-year playoff drought.
They didn't earn it.
They cheated.
They didn't earn it. That's not earning.
Well, I mean, they did the requisite things needed.
What you said when LeBron James said, "Hey, I want to sign here." You typed up a contract. Great job. Great job. When Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans and said, "The only place I'm going is the Lakers." You listen. They did trade a lot of talent. Don't get me wrong. But Anthony Davis and LeBron James literally forced – you have two top five players that forced themselves onto your team. That's not earning. That's socialism. Here you go. Here's two top five players. You're the Lakers. Here you go.
That's socialism?
Dude, let me tell you something. If the Kings got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I'm pretty sure they'd, you know, be a playoff team.
You think so?
Actually, you know what? I don't. You mean the one? LeBron James would magically start slowing down. Anthony Davis would play 15 games.
They finish like with 37 wins and somehow sneak into the eighth seed, get blown out in the first round. That would actually be what happened.
Is it too soon because we know we're not making the playoffs next year too to start like talking about tanking for Emony Bates?
No.
Can we just tank for Emony Bates starting next year? Is it okay to go into a season tanking?
It's funny you say that because there's something I saw on social media. I'm kind of thinking in the same line here. It's like how everyone got so upset. Oh, ESPN disrespecting the Kings, leaving them out. NBA TV disrespecting the Kings.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we also have all the Kings blogs doing, like, assuming that the Kings are in the lottery.
Dude.
That to me was like, oh, wait, you're mad they left them out, but you yourself are already saying it's a lottery team. We're going to start looking at lottery picks for the Kings.
That is one thing I did not participate in. I saw the Ringer and everybody, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, I don't care now. Like, we have to earn it.
It's annoying, but it's also, like, I can't get mad.
The easiest bet to make in the NBA is that the Kings will fail.
That's a pretty
good
one.
Easy bet. I can't get mad at people for that.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Well, we know one thing that's on tap, but we'll tell you the other things that are on tap, including some Bay Area baseball. Can the A's continue their streak of good stuff? We also have a crossover, which we already have a question, and Jay came up with that earlier. We'll answer the question from Jason and Doug, all coming up in the final segment next.
The Carmichael Dave Show returns in 3 minutes.
Yeah, let's go, come on!
It's what's on tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by
foods that you normally get for takeout that you can better replicate at home.
Foods that you normally get for takeout that you can do better at home. So, just like a hamburger count?
Sure.
Yep, made an awesome, called up my quadruple B, blue bacon brioche burger over the weekend. So I take the hamburger meat and I crumble up a whole little triangle chunk of blue cheese in the raw meat, then form the patties, okay, then put them on the grill. A little brioche bun, bacon on top.
People that don't use brioche on their burgers are missing out on one of life's great pleasures.
You know they are. It is the perfect hamburger bun. And no, it's not 99 cents for a pack of eight, but it is a perfect bun. And here's another just tiny little thing you can do, especially if you're grilling burgers. It just makes all the difference in the world. Take the time, and usually if you like cheese on your burger, when you go out to put the cheese on the burger, take your buns and put them on the grill as well, your hamburger buns.
People don't do that normally?
They don't.
I've always just...
By the time the cheese melts, your buns will be nice and toasty.
Yeah.
And it just makes... They're soft on the outside, crunchy on the inside. Also,
I thought that was just normal.
It's not.
Wow, okay.
A lot of people don't do that.
Well, a lot of people are just lazy and don't toast their buns, which I think is, that's a foul if you ask me.
Also, you know, I like onions on my burger and they're fine. And honestly, raw onions are fine, but make it a little special. Slice your onions thin. Put a little drop of oil in a pan. Saute your onions together. Put a pinch of sugar in with your onions so it caramelizes them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Pinch of sugar, pinch of salt. And then put those on your burger. By the way, you could also grill the onions too.
Yeah, I like to grill my onions. I love grilled onion. Mm-hmm. Grilled onion is so bomb.
What is your food?
Oh, so last night I did Chinese food.
What did you make?
Very basic.
Fried
very
rice?
Very basic. No. I did white rice. Again, very basic. But I do my own sesame chicken.
Okay.
And just some broccoli on the side. Again, very basic.
Gotcha.
But I can replicate it pretty damn good. It's my girl's favorite thing I make.
Are you fairly with your sesame chicken? Are you fairly, is it always the same exact recipe or will you sometimes experiment?
Oh, I'll experiment. But I have my go-to that it's a Monday night and.
I'm just saying, so if you're not nailed down on your sesame chicken, would you call it an open sesame chicken recipe?
Here, Matt, you can do the rest of the show.
No. I'm sorry. I need you. Jay, I need you. I need you, Jay. Come on. You walked into it, dude. He walked into it.
What happened?
I said he was making sesame chicken last night, and I said, do you ever experiment with the ingredients, or is it the same recipe each time? And he said, no, I experiment. And I said, so would you say it's an open sesame chicken recipe?
You know, to be fair, Jay, that's actually pretty good.
Thank you. That's Matt George. Matt George, everybody.
Like, of all the standards.
Thank you. King's pessimist, Matt George.
Yeah.
I told the story earlier.
Oh, yeah, you did?
They broke you. You told me yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
None of this optimism.
No.
Is there any chance, by the way, any chance at all we could get a follow-up to your hit smash? Could we get a song, Kings Need Luka?
So there is actually an unreleased song that got stopped because of COVID.
Oh, no.
Not a joke.
Oh, no.
And it is about making fun of the Kings.
Oh, don't.
To the tune of I'm the One by DJ Khaled and Justin Bieber.
I'm going to give a little advice from an experienced member of this radio station.
Okay.
There was once a morning show. There was once a morning show that was on this station before my time. And the Kings were not doing very well. So the morning show, which was very musically inclined, very talented, they and some of the listeners will remember this. They put out a song called King Suck to the tune of Steve Martin's King Tut from the old Saturday Night Live skit. King suck. And they did a whole song. It didn't go well politically.
Ah.
So just be careful.
It's not dunking on the Kings as hard as that. Okay. That it's more making fun of ourselves as Kings fans.
Okay, that's fine. Well, that's fine.
Which, I mean, basically don't need Luka was as well.
Speaking of Luka, Kings Mavericks, 11:30. You're here for are you trading back?
I was like, do you want to do
let me just ask you a quick question, then you can hand it back to Jay.
Okay.
If the Kings beat Dallas today, all right, they would then be – right now they're a game out of the play-in. They have tiebreakers ahead of them, but they're a game out. They've picked up a half game on Memphis. If the Kings beat Dallas tomorrow, are you going to have optimism slip back into you? And by the way, that's optimism – never mind.
I mean, gross.
Right, but exactly.
I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, I know myself, and I know how kind of sick and twisted we are as Kings fans. So if the Kings beat the Mavericks, and especially with the fact that they're still, what, 3.5 games back of – and they're still technically in the race, and other teams are losing. Portland helped – or rather, New Orleans helped them. Yeah, I think I would be.
Would.
A little bit. A little
would.
Bit. But it would be extremely cautiously optimistic.
Easiest bet in the NBA today is taking the Kings plus 5.5. All right. Thank you, Matt George.
Yep. Stay tuned. Yeah. Scott Marsh and I are up next.
Scott Marsh, Scotty the Body Marsh, and Matt the Gorge George. I don't know what his nickname is. Not Fat Matt. That one. I'm trying to think. Scotty the Body Marsh, and I don't know what Matt's nickname would be other than go get that thing.
Matt with the big lats.
No, dude. But yeah, you quit because of Open Sesame.
Yeah, it was awful. Let me take my mask off.
Could you take your mask off?
That better.
Mavericks Kings pregame starts right as soon as we get off the air here. We'll hand the ball over to Scotty and Matt. Luka Doncic and the Sacramento Kings. There's also baseball today too. This is you know what? I've missed this. This is a really good sports day. In fact, let me see. Is it a great sports day? No, damn it. All right, you got the Giants and Rockies tonight, 5:40. A's and Rangers at 6:10. Are these times right? 6:10, or am I looking at the wrong times?
That sounds right.
It's not 7:05. What happened to 7:05?
They've had weird 6 o'clock starts.
Season. Here's where this would be a perfect sports day. If you had Kings at 11:30, and then either the Giants or A's playing a day game at 1:05. And then the other one playing a night game. Then you would just have from 11:30 on, you would have nothing but sports. Anyways, all that's coming up.
They should
up.
Have all consulted with you when it came to scheduling.
You're damn right they should have, Jay. Now it's time for the crossover.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right, guys. Today on the crossover, gosh, Doug, I think about all the things in 2020. What would have been? And you realize right now we'd be talking about, like, the Olympics would be going on.
Oh, man. So many different. Year. Oh, that would be awesome. I'd love the Olympics, man.
I think back to, like, 1996. Remember when Michael Johnson wore the gold shoes?
Yeah, straight up and down.
He did run upright like that. But broke the world record in Atlanta. So Olympics is great. It really is. And there's so many different events.
No doubt. I would one. What? I guess this is the question to you guys. If you could go to one event.
Just one.
Just one. That's all you get. You can't go to anything else. You only got one. What's that event that you would go to at the Olympics?
Man. Sounds good.
I'm there.
I'm there, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I've one never event. Been.
What's the one?
For me, 100-yard.
Track and field.
Yep, track and field. I'm going track and field. Yeah.
Track and field's the
I
best.
I
want to
see high jump, triple jump, something. I'm there.
All right, guys. What's your answer?
All right, so as always, we take these questions very seriously. When they say event, I assume they mean an actual event. So, for example, opening ceremonies, does that count?
No.
Okay.
Competition event.
Gosh, Summer Olympics. I like so many events in the Summer Olympics. Part of me go track and field because not only can you see like the 100-yard dash, but there's other stuff going on.
Sure.
Like while the running's going on, like some dude's doing the shot put and some other.
The javelin.
Right. And the pole vault and all that. So you get that. Gymnastics, I think, would be super cool to see up close, right? To actually see these people do these contortions. It wouldn't be basketball. It wouldn't be any mainstream sports.
Yeah, nothing you see on a normal basis.
No, no, no. It might be diving.
Synchronized?
Well, they probably have a bunch of them, right? So I'll take whatever the high dive is.
Well, the high dive with the synchronized diving, yeah. That to me is like one of the hardest things.
I'm with you, dude.
That's ridiculous.
have you it makes me laugh every time. Have you looked up the YouTube video of the, I believe it's the diving team from the Philippines from the last Summer Olympics?
No.
I'm laughing because, listen, I couldn't.
After what you put me through from videos this morning before we got on air, I'm not trusting you.
If you want a good laugh, look up Filipino diving team, and it'll probably fill it out for you. Olympics 2016.
I'm not going to tell people what you sent me, but you were like, hey, watch this, man. It's really good.
No.
And it was really good. But boy, was it like, wow, this is a lot to take in at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, we talked about this on the air yesterday.
I know.
It was the Hozier video. The Hozier video. Take me to
My
church.
My Lord.
Oh, I didn't.
Terrific video. Great mess. Everything. Right. But geez.
I didn't text it to you saying, hey, Jay, it's a laugh a minute. Check this thing out if you're down.
But it's 4 in the morning.
I said it was heavy. I said it was really heavy. It was a heavy video.
Breakfast yet. Mine, I'm cheating here. So karate was going to premiere in the 2020 Olympics, now 2021. So I would go to that just because that's what I have the most personal interest in.
You go, okay.
Make it simple.
You're totally, I'm totally what making now? You watch the Filipino.
No, we're not doing that. We got 45 seconds. We got a crossover.
Okay, let's ask our crossover question. Jay, you came up with it. Now, one thing Doug has said. He said, enough with the food question.
Right.
So I'm going to turn it over to you and let you ask the question.
Get me in trouble.
No, what? He said no food question, so ask a question.
I forgot what it was.
What is, God damn it, Jay, what is the most overrated food?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a food that people normally get super excited about or it has a great reputation, and you're like.
Let me give you an example. Quiche.
Okay, you're wrong. I'll give you another one. Thanksgiving turkey.
You're super wrong.
I'm so not wrong. Quiche? Quiche is amazing.
Turkey's amazing.
For Jay, I'm Dave. Jim Rome is next. Quiche rules. Sports 1140. Go Kings. Bye-bye now.